Blog Talk Radio.
Niggas put off nine. Niggas put off nine.
You bit it, bit it.
Niggas put off nine. Niggas put off nine.
You bit it.
You could be around.
And welcome to the End Special. My name is Ed Molina, my partner in crime as usual. Oh, damn. That intro got ruined by... Oh, damn. Ooh, that was horrible. My bad. I'm not COVID sick. I'm regular sick. But Jesus Christ, that was not the intro I was... God damn. Woo. Woo. You there, Fuzz? Fuzz, you there? Yo, Buzz, are you there? Mic check, 1, 2. Mic 2. Hello? Hold on, let me see. Let me try something. Let's see, hold on. Hey, yo.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
right,
I can.
Let me say,
can you hear me?
I don't know what type of COVID curse you put on my mic. But I for one, I got a negative COVID test today, so I know I'm COVID free. So I'm not messing anything up. Let me also say, remember, shout out to Suplex Vintage Wrestling. Check out Suplex Vintage on Instagram. If you're in Philadelphia, check out Suplex Vintage Wrestling, and don't catch COVID like Ed.
It's not COVID. I don't know what happened there. ooh, little congestion.
Didn't you watch the debate? Get tested, man.
The what?
Wear a mask. Wear a mask.
No, you know what it is? Like, because of COVID, so I got really bad allergies. I'm allergic pretty much to life. And so if I don't take my allergy pills for a day or two, I just get this, like, drip, like post-nasal drip, whatever they call it. And so your mind starts playing tricks on you. We're like, shit, do I have the Rona? Is it just the allergies? What kind of a cough is this? You start chugging on vinegar to make sure. Yeah. Start chugging on vinegar to make sure that you can still have your taste buds and you can smell it. Because that's actually a great way to know if your sense of smell and taste will work is vinegar. Because if you can taste that shit, you good. But, yeah, no, you get a little paranoid during allergy season. Like, oh, shit, I probably should get tested.
Especially, when your
What's
neighbors
up?
Are. Well, we'll leave that
yeah,
alone.
Yeah, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there.
We'll leave that
I got
alone.
A job. I got a job.
But those aren't my neighbors, so I got tested.
I got a job. Nah, son, I got a job. Are you trying to get me fired? Fuck.
I just said I'm not going to go there. I just said I'm not going to go there.
We got a lot to cover. Where do we start? There's the G1. Congrats to Ibushi, who's won two back-to-back G1 Climax tournaments. First guy to do it since Masahiro Chono, and I'm blanking on the other person. Why am I blanking? Where is it? Oh, my God, I'm blanking on his name. But I know Masahiro Chono, and I know that because he showed up to the tournament to congratulate Ibushi. It was a pretty cool card. He fought Sonata, who Sonata had to beat both Naito and – well, actually, he didn't beat Naito, but he had to get past Evil in the last night of the B block. And while Naito lost to – who was it that Naito lost to in the last night of the B block? Kenta, actually. So Kenta's had a great year for New Japan. He actually won the New Japan Cup USA so that he gets a title shot to Mox's US IWGP title. He beat Naito in the G1, so he's going to get a title shot. He's guaranteed a title shot before Wrestle Kingdom off of that. I don't know if it's going to be champ, meaning both, because Naito holds both the Intercontinental and the Heavyweight title. But he's guaranteed a shot now after beating Naito. And so he beat Naito on night one. I mean, on the last night of the B block. The other thing that stood out was the final night of the A block. Will Ospreay turned on Kazuchika Okada, and that broke my heart because I'm a big Will Ospreay fan and a big Okada fan. And just, I love Ospreay, but what are you doing? I think Ospreay needs a change. B. Priestley was heavily involved. She's apparently now back in Japan after a stint with AEW. She's the Star World Champion, or one of their champions. I don't know how their championship system works out as far as women's wrestling out in Japan. But she was, on the night of the finale, she was there with, holding a title by Ospreay's side. So nice little swerve there. You're also, throughout the month, you also saw splits in the Bullet Club, which was inevitable. Obviously, with Jay White being in the U.S., he's been working out of the U.S., and Kenta working out of the U.S., and the Tongans, you know, Girls of Destiny working out of the U.S., there's been a split with Bullet Club, you know, between Evil's faction, which has Dick Togo, it has Yujiri, the Tokyo Pimp, it has, unfortunately, Chase Owen is with Bullet Club USA, so I don't know what to tell you about that.
Yeah,
I wish we could trade him for Tokyo Pimp, but it led to a lot of conflict within the G1, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of, you know, people not getting too sweet, getting dissed. So you're seeing friction within the Bullet Club between Evil's faction and, you know, Jay White's faction. So I think that's going to come to a head in some capacity. What else did I? Oh, also Okada, and you know, I hate that it's just a one-way conversation, the New Japan thing, which I'm gonna get to. It's gotta be frustrating for someone like you, who's a fan, an American fan of the product, but with COVID having ruined everything, you don't have the access that you used to.
I missed like the whole G1.
Yeah, like even me giving you my password, the majority of the event was in Japanese. Now, I have no problem sitting down watching Japanese wrestling in Japanese. I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me. I can watch the matches. It's a little weird. It's like watching a kung fu flick without the subtitles in a lot of ways, or Dragon Ball Z without the subtitles. But I make it work. But for someone like you, you know, maybe you don't want to deal with the Japanese commentary. Maybe you want to hear Kevin Kelly and Rocky Romero.
Be honest, I don't want to lie, because actually I would have watched it in Japanese. I completely forgot you gave me your password, and I don't have it anymore, even if I did remember. So, yeah, I mean, it's not my preferred language, but I definitely would have caught some matches if I had known that I had your password and knew what it was.
To New Japan's credit, I mean, they tried to show as many as the matches in English with English commentary, with Rocky Romero, Kevin Kelly, and Chris Carlton doing the commentary from different parts of the world. I believe Chris Carlton is in Japan, while Kevin Kelly and Rocky Romero are based out in the U.S. I think Rocky's in Texas, and I don't know where Kevin Kelly is. But, and you know, that was credit to New Japan having the foresight of turning our show that was pretty much the Young Lions show that they had for American audiences from the L.A. Dojo. They're doing arena shows, empty arena shows, where they had the New Japan Cup USA tournament, which had pretty good participation. It had Tama Tonga. It had Kenta. It had Chase Owens. Okay, maybe Chase Owens not good participation, but they had Kenta. You know, and Jay White, you know, being able to get into the country from Australia, if I'm not mistaken, being able to get into the U.S., to be able to work these tournaments and work these shows. And then Jeff Cobb is officially signed with New Japan. Actually, and that was a cool thing. He had a pretty good G1. I think people that stood out, going back to that, bringing it back, Jeff Cobb had a pretty good G1. Shingo Takagi had a pretty good G1. I still think he's
what about my
making.
Man CSJ?
CSJ had a great tournament, and he was in it up until the last night. He ended up losing in the B block to Tanahashi. Actually a great, yo, he did this one sick combo where he turned Tanahashi's sharpshooter into a Gogo Plata chokehold. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? Like, It was a great team, Zach Sabre Jr. So he had a pretty good tournament, but he fell short. Again, the finalists were Sonata and Sonata and Ibushi, and it just felt like Sonata's still being booked the same for what it's worth. He's the Dolph Ziggler of New Japan. What do I mean by the Dolph Ziggler? He's a mid-carder that they try to elevate to the main event card, and no matter how much you push him, and no matter how good he is, and no matter how much he sells, and no matter how talented he is, there's just something about him that can't break that main event card where you just get behind him like that. Dolph Ziggler's a lot like that. Like, I like Dolph Ziggler. I don't love Dolph Ziggler. I like Dolph Ziggler as Intercontinental Champion. I don't like him as Heavyweight Champion. And Sonata has a lot of that. I like Sonata as a tag team with Evil. I like Sonata as a piece in Ingobernables. Him being in a G1 final was a little weird. I'm not going to say. I think it should have been maybe Evil in the finale. Again, I'm not booking. I'm sure they have, you know, their plans and whatnot. But it just felt like it's an inevitable coronation of Ibushi. And so now the Wrestle Kingdom main event. Well, oh, and that's the other thing they announced. Once again, Wrestle Kingdom is going to be tonight, January 4th, January 5th, with, I guess, the main event for the first night being Naito versus Ibushi, again, for the heavyweight title. It's going to be interesting how that pans out. I'm assuming that with things getting better in Japan, Mox is going to be able to go out to Wrestle Kingdom and defend his title. He's owed a match to Kenta. We'll get to Mox in a second because I love the main event for what's the name of their pay-per-view? Metal Gear?
Yeah.
Full Metal? Is it Metal Gear or Full Metal?
I think it's Metal Gear.
Okay.
No,
but
it's not Metal Gear. That's the video game.
That's the video game. Point is Mox has obligations. He's got some great matches on the horizon this year, next year. He's got to defend the title against Kenta at some point, unless they're just going to strip him of the title, which is always possible. They've done that in the past with him being unable to defend. And they have, you know, they have Naito versus Ibushi, which I think should be a great at least for one of the nights, a great Wrestle Kingdom finale. Of course, we got Best of the Super Juniors coming up because that was canceled because of COVID. That'll determine who's going to challenge Hiromu Time Bomb for his junior heavyweight title. And we got World Tag Team coming up, which should be interesting if Zack Sabre Jr. is going to team up with Taichi, who he's been working with Taichi, or if he's going to team up with Minoru Suzuki, who he teams up with outside of Japan. I like that combination better. But we'll see. Oh, the other thing about Okada I was going to mention, he's got a new finisher. He was intent on finishing the G1 without ever using the Rainmaker, and he's got a new finisher, a submission hold, called the Money Clip, which is pretty fucking money, pun intended. It's called the Money Clip. It's kind of like, you remember the Cobra Clutch? Yeah, it's kind of like an inverted Cobra Clutch type of maneuver. It's really good. He tapped out Shingo. He had a great match with Shingo Takagi, where he tapped him out, and he was using that throughout the tournament, kind of his way of saying, I'm reinventing myself. I'm no longer using the Rainmaker, that lariat that I love. He's now using one of my favorite, actually, submissions holds that I love in wrestling. Like, if I were a pro wrestler, that would probably be one of my finishes, would probably be the Cobra Clutch. So, but he's calling it the Money Clip. So,
yeah, I definitely wasn't married to the Rainmaker. I wasn't the greatest Rainmaker fan.
Oh, I love a good closer. I was just having this argument with friend of the show, Bonnie. She hates clotheslines as finishers. Now I grew
up finishers.
With Stan
I agree. I love clotheslines.
Really?
There's nothing like a good clothesline. But as a finisher, I don't like it.
Really? Because I grew up on
yeah.
Stan Hansen's lariat. I thought
yeah.
that Bradshaw had a great clothesline.
Stan Hansen.
I love the Rainmaker. You know, but she's
the,
always
clothesline
like,
out of hell by Bradshaw.
Yeah, clothesline from hell,
but
Bradshaw.
But it's not for everybody.
And a guy like Okada,
I don't see as a big clothesline finisher guy. It takes like a Stan Hansen or a Bradshaw.
Oh, Okada's a big boy. I don't think people realize Okada's a big boy. Like Stan Hansen's big boy. He's probably bigger than Adam Page. Like, he looks straight out of Dragon Ball Z. He's a horse. Like,
He's not. Stature is not enough to sell a clothesline as a finisher to me.
I got you. I'm biased because I grew up a big Stan Hansen fan, and I love a good clothesline.
I did too, but I just don't think it's for everybody.
You look at some of those old New Japan videos of Stan Hansen, and he looks like he's just, I mean, obviously that's strong stuff, but he looks like he's just going to rip somebody's head off. Okada's got a new finisher, the money clip. I think that you'll like a little bit better than the Rainmaker. So that's the update on New Japan. Like I said, it sucks. I think that going forward, New Japan and AEW really need to put the differences aside because I think they can make beautiful music together. I really do. They complement each other. The Bucks and Omega and a lot of those guys work out there, know how to work with those guys out there. It would be a great relationship between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a better partnership than Ring of Honor for New Japan.
I agree. Although, you know, it's, again, that's how they made, you know, New Japan strong, their American TV show work, is they've been using a lot of, like, it's cool seeing Flip Gordon, like, they've been using Flip Gordon a lot in their New Japan show, the USA show, against Switchblade. I forgot that big dude that they have that's part of the Villain Club. But, you know, they've been using Bandito and a few of those guys. So, you know, it's been a weird year for New Japan. It's going to be hard to judge Match of the Year with New Japan kind of being so erratic with their U.S. presence. But that's going to be on me or on us to gather matches and see, like, what we got to see. There's still a lot of time left. So in the year, well, not really, actually. We're almost in November, huh? It's almost Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get into it. If we got time, we'll review the tournament for the number one contender. I guess it's AEW's version of the New Japan Cup. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's get into Hell in a Cell. They've weirdly only announced 4 matches that I know of. I guess it's going to be a shorter show. Listen, I'm a little leery after last year's Hell in a Cell, the way it ended, where they just stopped the match against, you know, it was Seth Rollins versus The Fiend, and they just stopped the match. So I'm already a little leery about Hell in a Cell. I don't know how I feel the new design of the red cage. I really don't. I'm still kind of on the fence on it. It looks sturdier than the shit that they use for Mankind versus Undertaker. It looks a lot sturdier, that's for sure. But, Hell in a Cell used to be... Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, I mean, sturdier is not necessarily, you know, I mean, obviously for safety reasons, but, like, they need to work on the matches rather than the actual sell, you know? I mean,
right.
I don't know if they're trying to sell, like, hey, look at this new cage that we did or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like WWE needs to kind of worry about things that matter more because what reason do we have to expect anything different from like the last 4 or 5 WWE pay-per-views? I mean, we have Orton versus McIntyre, right?
Right, that's one Hell in a Cell.
What are the other ones?
Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre.
Which is going to be good, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's the one I'm most excited about. But, I mean, it's kind of what we've been doing. As we know, Orton versus McIntyre is definitely what we've been doing. What else? But what are the other two?
I'm actually more excited for Sasha Banks versus Bayley in the Hell in a Cell.
No, I just said that's the one I'm most excited about.
Right,
but it is. Exactly. We can't act like this is a new development or anything we haven't seen. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
but I'm definitely most excited for that. But what are the other two?
No, it's coming to a head to that. Does that one, does McIntyre versus Orton? I'm actually looking forward to Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns. But again, all of a sudden, this
again, we've seen it. We just saw it. I'm not excited.
But
it wasn't a good match the first time.
This is my thing. Is it's like, how are they going to do this differently in the sense that I don't know why they added the stipulation that is an I Quit match or some shit like that, an I Quit Hell in a Cell match. So
right, like, what are the chances you think Roman Reigns is going to say I quit?
Slim and none. I am intrigued by the whole of him putting his family in their place. I am intrigued by that storyline, actually.
But here's the thing. We already knew. It's very, very clear. And this is with WWE. Like, not only do we get the same matches, but everything is so predictable. Like, we already knew if it was Reigns versus Uso, it's clear Reigns is going to win that match. Right? We're not going to have a swerve as big as Jey Uso beating Roman Reigns for the belt. We know that. And then adding I Quit makes it even more predictable.
I just don't see the
point of it.
I don't.
It makes it already ridiculously predictable match even more predictable.
So you could say the same about Mox versus Eddie Kingston. There's a sense of inevitability because that's your main event at Full Metal.
Right.
Full
Gear. You got it. Here's the thing. We haven't seen that. I don't think that's going to be a great match. But we haven't seen that match. We just saw Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, and it wasn't a good match. So why are we seeing another one?
But we did see Mox defend. We saw Mox defend against Eddie Kingston last minute just a couple of weeks ago. Well, we did see that.
Okay, I didn't see that. Because I've been sporadic lately with AEW. But it wasn't a pay-per-view, though. And it wasn't a pay-per-view.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But,
what happens on pay-per-views with AEWs for sure. Week to week, I've been bad the last, month and a half.
Right. But it just goes to show what I'm saying, that, you could say the same thing about, because it just happens. It was mentioned in this week's AEW show. And I love that match. Do I think there's a sense of an inevitability that Eddie Kingston's going to lose? Absolutely.
Of course. Of course.
Do I think these matches are going to be solid? I think both matches are going to be solid. I don't know about great. Again, that Hell in a Cell with Seth Rollins and The Fiend kind of ruined Hell in a Cell forever. So to me, Hell in a Cell's kind of jumped the shark. It used to be one of my favorite matches. It used to be one of my favorite
pay-per-views. Oh, it jumped the shark a long time ago.
So I understand your trepidation, but I think you can still make a solid match. Look, part of the talent and art of wrestling is convincing the public that, maybe I'm wrong with this. Maybe it's not inevitable. I think you got a little bit of shades of element of that with Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns, like you said, in that regular match. And his brother coming out, Jimmy coming out to try to save him, and blah, 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 blah. I think they're going to notch up the drama on that a little bit. You know what I mean? Is the drama going to make it what?
Will the drama make it good enough for you though? Like, what type of drama? Like, what? I mean, I don't know. What is brother going to turn against brother, or that? That could be interesting.
Know.
But other than that, what are they really going to do to make it exciting?
To me, the guy is insisting on not quitting, much like Eddie Kingston, except they're going about it in different ways. Eddie Kingston is going about it in a DMX thug, I've never quit a goddamn thing in my life ever. You got to see the promo that he threw. By the way, Eddie Kingston, the best mic in the business. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Just the best mic in the business. And his Syracuse throwback,
Orange
I think
Cassidy.
He was wondering, what?
Orange Cassidy.
No, not even close. I think Eddie Kingston, his mic game is as good as his throwback jersey game. He had that butt-ass Carmelo Anthony Syracuse jersey on this week when he was doing
his
promos.
About the Vlad Guerrero throwback from last week.
That was an ill throwback. But, you know, it's different.
I got one myself.
It's different, the approach, but it's still the same. It's like, now you know Eddie Kingston will probably not quit, or who will, they'll make it a creative way where he quits. Same thing with Jey Uso. It's going to be interesting because it's like the whole, you know, what is it, Samoan pride and blah, 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 and I'm not going to quit. I think he is going to quit. Like, and they set this up with the last pay-per-view. Like you said, yeah, we've seen this. But they set this up in the last pay-per-view when he wouldn't. I love the disrespect that Roman feel in that this motherfucker won't give me my due. This guy won't say my name. It's a lot like the Velveteen Dream thing, his beef a couple of years ago. It's like, this motherfucker won't say my name. Like, I'm going to have to beat the shit out of him. Like, I do find interest in that. But again, it's all that's what they get paid the big bucks to do. That's the craft, is how are you going to make me give a fuck the night of? Because, like, I perfectly understand why you're like, this is stupid, this is inevitable. I totally get it. I'm more excited for that than I am for Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton, which I think is an okay match. I think it's okay, but I'm not as thrilled about it as the other, you know, Hell in a Cell matches either.
I mean, look at it. This is how I look at it, right? Like, it's similar to what we were talking about with, you know, I like big clotheslines, but not from everybody as a finisher, right? I like Hell in a Cell matches. I like, you know, let's say steel cage matches. Basically,
right.
Same thing.
Right.
But is every match going to be, you know, is an element of the match going to be added to with the steel cage with every match? No. And, you know, steel cage match, and I'm not taking anything away from Drew McIntyre at all, you know, but Drew McIntyre to me, like, and there's nothing wrong with this because not everybody is going to be this type of wrestler. And I don't think Orton is either, but they're not like the, you know, I want to see in Hell in a Cell, I want to see a big bump. I mean,
right.
This kind of speaks to it. Like, I would, at this point, I'd rather see Shane O'Mac in a Hell in a Cell match than either one
I
of them, because I know there's going to be an insane bump. Or I'd like to see somebody who just takes a massive beating well. You know what I mean? And can sell a massive beating in a cage. And I, that's
you
not
like
or McIntyre. This could be a good match.
Like,
with a different stipulation, but I don't like this stipulation for McIntyre or Orton.
That's fair. I mean, that's a fair assessment. But you were just saying the bump machine, that's going to be Jey Uso. You pretty much just described the Jey Uso Roman Reigns match. He's going to be a bump machine.
I mean, Uso will, but I mean, here's the thing. You're right, but they're going to use that to make it another smush match. And they're going to throw a little twist on the end of this smush match, which is different from the last one. But I'm not psyched for it. You know what I mean?
Right. I get it.
I mean, we just saw this. You're just changing a twist. I mean, if they have Jimmy turn on Jay and then be with Roman, I like that. But outside of that, I don't really see them pulling this off with any other type of swerve or twist or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, and you could also say the same thing about Sasha versus Bayley. I mean, I've seen this match. I never get bored of this match.
Remember, I mean, this is me. I think that Becky versus Sasha was one of the best Hell in a Cell. I think it was the best Hell in a Cell match last year. And I think it was one of the better women's Hell in a Cell match that I've seen.
I think this one's going to be better.
It could be. And that's my point. That's my point. I think the women are going to steal the show because I think, you know, I think Sasha and Bayley can both pull it off. And, you know, Sasha has already been half of what I consider, at least in my memory, the best women's steel cage or Hell in a Cell match.
I hope they headline. That's what I'm hoping. I think that's the more main event, last match worthiness match is Bayley versus Sasha. No cider this time. Just herbal tea. Just mango hibiscus.
Just COVID.
Sorry.
But here's the thing, though. Let's address this real quick.
Sure.
Before we move on, because I think we're forgetting about another match. Like, again, I don't know if this is a Hell in a Cell match, but this is the fourth one announced. I don't know. Like, you know I'm a big fan of Elias, but Elias versus Jeff Hardy. Now, Jeff Hardy, if this is Hell in a Cell, he's a great guy to be in Hell in a Cell, but against Elias, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, Elias is another guy that I don't know how much he'll be able to sell the Hell in a Cell match, you know?
So, from what I understand, that's just a singles match. Now,
I think it's just a regular match. I don't think it's Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it's just a regular match. I don't see the WWE going the TNA Impact route of having – they used to have Lockdown every year. Lockdown, every single match was a cage match of some sort. Whether, you know what I mean? I don't think that's the route they're going with Hell in a Cell. But you
know,
right,
I think Elias versus Hardy is a regular match, and I think the ones that they're going to announce are going to be – well, not necessarily like regular, but I don't think they're going to be Hell in a Cell. I think they're going to announce two more.
So, yeah.
And the thoughts are Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio with Seth Rollins and Murphy, like a three-way or something, just, you know, going with that. And then they're also saying that they think and that there's going to be some stipulation. Owens versus Aleister Black, which that could be good, especially with the right stipulation. That could be a great match.
That could be good. I think that could be really good. I like Owens. I like Aleister Black. This card, it just seems...
Dominic versus Murphy could be sneaky good if that happens. That could sneakily be good.
It could be, but we were just talking about, oh, we've seen that already. How many times have we got to see Murphy... and Seth and Dominic already. You know what I mean? Now,
well, we haven't seen we haven't seen really Murphy against Seth Rollins, and Murphy hasn't necessarily like aligned himself. You know, you've got the whole Murphy is, you know, cranking out Mysterio's, what's her name, Aaliyah, his sister. So
yeah,
Mysterio doesn't like that, but maybe then she's gonna come out and he's gonna save Dominic from Rollins. They end up teaming up. Who knows? There's different ways you could go with this. But, I mean, Rollins and Murphy are solid. They're solid performers. They put on great matches. And Dominic, I think, you know I was critical of Dominic, but I think Dominic, you know, he's young, but I think he's on the way to being one of those guys too. And who knows? Maybe he already is. And I think these two guys can kind of elevate him.
We're at a point with this feud where we've seen eyeballs taken out. I'm just saying.
You're right.
Now, again, that doesn't mean I'm not up for it. That doesn't mean that I think it will be a good match. You're right. They might low-key steal the match in the sense in that I like Murphy. Murphy can go. Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins, obviously. And Dominic, like you said, has a bright future ahead of him. So I'm not dismissing the match altogether. But it goes back to, like, well, we've seen it already. You know, like, the concept. It just seems like this entire pay-per-view, the concept is we've seen it already. You know what I mean?
And also keep in mind, it's speculation. This is not a set match.
Of course.
This is just speculation.
Of course. I think, and this is why I think it should main event, at least with the Sasha Bailey match. Have we seen it? Yes. What I've enjoyed about this dynamic, about this rivalry that's happened over the years, that's reaching, I would say, Steamboat, Flair, because those are guys that went all over the country fighting each other and putting up great matches. I think Usos, New Day, I'm not putting them with Flair and Steamboat, but, you know, I think when you
solid,
another
though.
Example,
as far as
you
tag
have,
teams go, solid series of
yeah.
matches.
Yeah, like you did, each match was different in and of itself. I think you get that with Bailey and Sasha. I think the great dynamic is that Bailey's no longer the goody-goody wannabe John Cena, you know, like positive role model for young ladies. She's more of a heel turn. This time she's the heel. And I like how they broke it down. She turned on Sasha before Sasha turned on her, because that's what always happens. That's what happens to simp Bailey. Bailey gets fucking disrespected by by, you know, boss Sasha, and this time she just nipped it in the bud before it can escalate. You know what I mean? That's all she really did.
Yeah.
She, you know, so I like that twist in this long feud, if you've been following this long time feud. So,
I mean,
but it just seems to be, you're right about that. It seems to be the theme of the pay-per-view of Hell in a Cell that, you know, what are we doing here? We've already done this before.
I mean, here's what they have done. Like, you brought it up. I think here's what WWE has done well. They've done a couple heel turns that, let's say, the not traditional wrestling fan, let's say the more mainstream wrestling fan might be upset about, but I think, like, the diehards love. And, you know, other than Bayley, Bayley is just spectacular as a heel. Spectacular.
Female wrestler of the year.
Is Roman Reigns. Now,
yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think Roman Reigns is really, like, kicking it off as a heel. I think that they wanted to just put him over the top as a heel, beefing with his own cousin. But, again, the match wasn't that great. I don't see the other match being that great. I want to see him against other people. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. Oh, he's beating up his own family. What a monster. I don't know, like, how much that's really getting across, though. And I feel like when they turned him a heel, they had all of this, you know, all of this momentum. And even I was excited about the heel turn. And you know I'm not a Roman Reigns fan whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Okay, you had him beat up his own family. Okay. Let's move on, and let's actually get him in a good match where it can be, you know what I mean? Like, we saw Roman against Brock and Seth Rollins, right? And
yeah.
That's one of the best matches that I've seen Roman as far as in-ring performance.
Right.
I want to see now that we like him more outside of the ring, his promos being mainly run by Paul Heyman. I think that I want to see him in, let's put him over as a wrestler. Him beating Jey Uso doesn't put him over as a wrestler. Maybe they thought
no,
this
but it
would
put
him over even more as a heel, and maybe it did. But I don't think it happening a second time is going to do that.
I disagree, but again, it depends on the level of violence. It goes back to, like, and that's why they get paid the big bucks, is that they're supposed to invest us in, they're supposed to make us invest and give a fuck into this. And that's the artwork. That's the canvas that they're going to try to paint Sunday night. Is how much more of a heel can we turn Roman Reigns? Is it a squash match? Yes. Have we seen this before? Yes. And I think that's also why I think it shouldn't be the main event. I think it should be Sasha and Bayley. But it comes down to, like, what off the hook thing, not twisted, but what off the hook thing is he going to do to make this man say I quit when he wouldn't say I quit or I wouldn't submit the first time. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is more of a Monday night, a Friday night SmackDown move than a pay-per-view move. But I think you are right. I think this is about convincing you, okay, you didn't believe it was the first time that he's a heel. Now we're going to turn it up a notch to show you how much of a heel he really is. I don't see it as a bad thing. Again, that's what they get paid the big bucks for. It's like, make me give a fuck. This could turn out to be the illest squash match. You know, squash matches sometimes work. Remember when Goldberg came
back
against Brock Lesnar?
Back to back, though.
Fair enough. No, that's fair. No, you're not wrong. That's a fair critique.
Like
that's
I said, the squash
critique.
Match, the first one, cool. I understand. That's family. You want him to really beat the family. You want to put him over as a heel. Now let's put him over as an actual wrestler. Even though,
you know what I mean?
Like, let's focus on him having good matches in the ring. We saw him squash his cousin already.
I'm not completely disagreeing with you.
Get him in there with guys that, you know, bring out his potential.
I'm disappointed they drafted Bray Wyatt out of SmackDown into Raw because I did want to see Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. There's a certain inevitability about Bray versus Roman that we haven't gotten yet. I don't know why.
I mean,
but we haven't gotten there yet. And I feel a little robbed of that going back, I guess, to your point about, okay, now we've proven he's a heel. Now, you can't have heel versus heel, but it looks like they're making some sort of weird face turn with
you can,
with Bray.
Though. You can. And this is, going to our, like, if I were a booker segments that we said we were going to do. If I were a booker, and I'm going against what I said, you can call me hypocritical because we have seen this. But we saw it in a different capacity. We saw it as, mm-hmm. like, a Shield beef. Now we have the Monday Night Messiah going to SmackDown, Roman's show. Roman wanting to be the tribal chief, and the Monday Night Messiah talking about he's the leader of everybody, the leader of the SmackDown. Let's see what happens with that. That's what I would do.
I don't disagree.
That's what I would do.
Instead, I bet you what's going to end up happening is Dominic, next pay-per-view is going to be Dominic Mysterio versus Roman Reigns.
Oh,
and that's
Lord. Going
to be a squash match. Watch. That's what they're going to book it. You heard it here first. That's what they're going to end up booking. Really quick, checked out AEW. I really like this tournament that they're doing, but if you get a chance, please go back.
No, I've watched
watch
the tournament.
Please.
I've been watching. I've been having it on while we've been podcasting.
Ray
I
Phoenix.
I thought the Lucha Brothers match easily. I mean, we kind of had two squash matches in this tournament. Speaking of squash matches, but I liked the Lucha Brothers match way more than Wardlow Jungle Boy. Although I thought Wardlow Jungle Boy was good.
So
and my
I,
man
I,
Ray
I,
Phoenix.
I have,
give my man Ray Phoenix a shine.
I have potentially that as match of the year. Like, that's on my list of, like, let me take note as a potential match of the year. Ray Phoenix versus Penta Cero Miedo. But what's funny
I mean,
about
if you ask
that
me,
is that...
That's the best tag team. That's the best tag team in wrestling right now, if you ask me.
I agree. But that
I think Ray Phoenix is spectacular, and I don't think people realize how spectacular he is. And possibly because he's a tag team wrestler. But that match was great. That was a great match.
So that leads me to what I'm talking about in the second round. It's going to be Kenny Omega versus Rey Fénix. And earlier in the year at AAA Wrestling, Kenny Omega had the mega title. He had some sort of title in AAA Mexico. And he was defending it back and forth all over Mexico against Rey Fénix. People said it was match of the year level. People were saying it's on the same, almost at the same level as Okada versus Omega. And as you can
it'll
see,
it'll be better than Wardlow Page. Easy.
What's that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which, by the way, Wardlow is really fucking good and doesn't
Wardlow's
get that respect.
Good.
He's
right,
I,
but he hasn't
I can't
seen,
wait for that
He hasn't
turn.
Seen any, anybody outside of Luchasaurus that he can really show his skill against. You know what I mean?
I got to look back if it happened this year because, like, COVID kind of has my mind all fucked up. But I also have Cody Rhodes versus Wardlow in the steel cage. I don't know if you remember the AEW Dynamite match. I have that as a potential match of the year. Wardlow can go. Wardlow's really fucking good. Like,
I think Wardlow versus Luchasaurus was better than that cage match.
There's an argument there to be made. That six spot at the end where he did that dive, that Cody dive, that he regrets. He says he kind of doesn't remember it. But you may not be wrong. You may not be wrong. Wardlow doesn't get in the ring a lot, but he's, you know, I know they're trying to sell the whole, you know, Big Daddy Cool Shawn Michaels thing with MJF and Wardlow. But I have no shame in saying this. Wardlow is way more talented than Kevin Nash ever was. Way more
talented.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm really excited about the semis coming up this weekend. We're starting to run out of time, but yeah, I feel like there's an inevitability, and we talk about this. I guess this has been the theme today. I think it's going to come down to Omega versus Page, which sucks, or Rey Fénix versus Wardlow because they're both really fucking good. But we'll get into that next week. I have no idea who's going to win this. It may be Omega. It could be Adam Page. I know they're trying to push them both at the same time, so. Anyway,
I think we're
going to
see Omega versus Page in the finals.
Yes, I agree. Again, that sense of inevitability, the theme of today, inevitability.
With the Bucks
interfering. But I agree with that. Yeah. So, but anyway, we'll talk about the tournament next week. Peace.
Later.